From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in beautiful Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson. And right here, right about now, you'd hear me ask a question for today's program and give you the title. But all I know is that we've been doing the top five shows of 2014, and today is number three. So, Dr. Randy, if you'd take the envelope and open it and let us know what the number three program of 2014 is.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And like you, I didn't know what it was until I stepped into the studio here. Our staff so diligently and creatively have worked behind the scenes and analyzing all the response online and Facebook and so on, to come up with the top five programs of the year. And so we're going to do this together. Let's open the envelope, please. Thank you very much. And let's take a look here. All right. Hey, listen, the number three program for the year was a program that we did not all that long ago. In fact, it was on the topic of facing loss and finding God's comfort. And it was the focus of hearing the story of my son, Derek, and his beautiful, lovely wife, Aria, our daughter-in-law, as they talk about the loss that we all went through this last year, the death of our granddaughter who came too early. And as a result of that, it's been a difficult year for all of us, but God is good. And you're going to hear the faithfulness of God in their story today. So if you missed the program, I hope you'll listen. Maybe this is a great time to call someone, to invite them if they've been through the premature birth of a child and through the death of a child, to join them, to have them join you on the program today, okay? And of course, our programs are always available online as well. You can share your story, your comments from today's program at 888-888-1717. Facing loss, finding God's comfort, number three on the list of the top programs. I started the program by asking my daughter-in-law, Aria, to take us back to the earlier this year and describe what happened back in February.
Well, Zuri was, she was born at 22 weeks, and there were some complications with my pregnancy. About a week before she was born, we were told that I had lost all of the amniotic fluid, so babies, they can't survive in the womb like that. I mean, a lot of times there are ways to keep the pregnancy going until they can be born at a safer age. We just kind of knew that things were going to be really difficult. So we fought really hard to find good medical care. I was in the hospital for about a week. I had already been on bed rest for about 6 weeks at that point with some other difficulties. But we were just really hoping and trusting and believing that God was going to help us through that. And we were just choosing to be hopeful and take it one day at a time. Unfortunately, she was born at 22 weeks. And at that stage, the doctors and nurses aren't obligated to try to save the babies. It was kind of up to us. The doctors checked her out after she was born, and they just told us that she was just too little, and so it would just cause her more pain if we tried to sustain her life. So we just decided that we didn't want her to suffer. So we said goodbye, and we let her go.
And, I had the opportunity to stand in the room and watch you guys and her hold Zuri Rose a little bit as well. And Derek, I know that was a particularly difficult day for as you as a dad and a husband, and I know as a man, what can you do? What was your experience like that day?
Well, I think it was just, it was such a difficult, several weeks leading up to it. You know, we got that early on at 9 weeks with that diagnosis that there could be complications, but the doctors weren't feeling like it was going to be too much of an issue. And then, you know, once we got to that point where it was like the doctor said, there's just nothing we can do. I've never experienced that where I've heard a doctor say, this is it, there's nothing we can do. And I think for me, that was just such a blow to the gut. And so it was really a point of, I've never had to fully and completely rely on God as much as I did in that moment. I remember when we were in the hospital, and we, Aria was just having some pain. And the next thing we know, the doctor comes in and says, we're going to have to go ahead and induce labor. And so for me, it was kind of that feeling of helplessness, that feeling of, you know, there's nothing I can do at this point. And just knowing that it was completely out of my hands and that God was in complete and utter control at that point. And so for me, my focus really shifted to how can I best take care of my wife? I kind of went into protector mode, into, what can I do to solve this problem? And so, you know, ended up making lots of calls. We got reconnected with cousin that I haven't talked to in a while who had a similar experience. She really helped us work through it. Her situation ended differently. She was able to have the pregnancy, and, you know, that was a huge blessing for them. But so that was something that I felt like I could do in the moment. That was very helpful for us. But, you know, after everything was said and done and she delivered and, you know, we're there holding Zuri in our arms and, you know, it was kind of at that point that we knew it was, she's in God's hands at that point and we know where she is today. But, you know, for us, it was after the fact, just knowing, God was with us through it. Knowing that God had, even though the outcome didn't end the way we wanted, we knew that God was directing every step along the way. We just saw a lot of different miracles throughout the process. We just saw, you know, reconnecting with cousins, and we saw people stepping up and helping out. And we had more prayer support than we ever imagined we could. And so that was significant for us.
All right. We're going to take just a real quick break. And then when we come back, I'd like to have you guys talk a little bit about your journey since then. I know it's been tough. And tough for all of us as a family, and people don't know what to say. And I know you've been blogging, Aria, and you're a beautiful writer. And by the way, Aria's blog's available on our website, and you have some very helpful resources you're going to mention that have been helpful to you. And if you come to Aria's blog here through our website, you see some pictures of Aria and Derek and their son Toby, and her blog, some powerful writing, and a very moving photograph of the footprints of little Zuri Rose that we have with our other grandchildren on our desk at home as well. And so sharing a little bit of our Carlson family experience, understanding that loss is real, it's painful, and as Derek and Aria share their own story with you, we'll come back and share a little bit more. If you want to join us or you have a perspective on this, you can call. By the way, if you come to theintentionallife.com, click on the broadcast highlights. That'll take you right to the area where you can get to the blogs and the resources that Aria and Derek have put together for you guys today. Come to theintentionallife.com.
The Intentional Living Storyline. Call anytime at 888-888-1717.
Hi, this is Dion Marriott, and I just wanted to comment about today's program. As a mom who's been through a loss myself, I just was interested to hear about your story, and it'll be 20 years on Friday since we said hello and goodbye to our baby daughter. We knew 4 months before she was born that she wasn't going to live, and we carried her to term and got to deliver her and hold her and love her for her whole 12 hours of life. God bless you.
Today, we've cracked open the Carlson family a little bit here to share with you the journey we've been through as a family during this year. Back on February 12th, our granddaughter, Zuri Rose, came prematurely to Derek and Aria, 22 weeks along, and just too little to survive. And they're sharing the journey that they've been through. And I appreciate you guys sharing because I know it's been very painful for you. Maybe to clarify one thing, Aria, earlier we're talking about inducing. That was something that one doctor was sort of encouraging, but you guys really took a different path, didn't you?
Yeah, when we first got to the hospital and they gave us the diagnosis, the doctor, she didn't have the best bedside manner, I would say. And so that didn't really help the situation, but she was suggesting that we go ahead and induce labor at 21 weeks. And somehow we just knew doing that, we were kind of giving up right then. And we felt like, you know, if the baby has a heartbeat, we're not going to just give up. We're going to really fight to make sure that we give her the best possible chance. And so we declined to induce, and we actually ended up transferring to a different hospital where God really, he just really had his hand in it. There was a friend who had recommended a specific doctor that we try to work with, and she just so happened to be the doctor on call. And she was wonderful. She's a Christian, and so she really understood our position on, you know, the sanctity of life. And she really worked with us. She came up with a couple of different suggestions. She ended up having me stay in the hospital a few days longer. And I'm thankful for that because, you know, even though it ultimately didn't end the way we were hoping it would, it still gave us that those few extra days to lean into God, to come together as a family, as a couple, and just live out what we believe, which is we believe that, you know, life starts at conception. And so we wanted to do what we could to try to keep Zuri's life as long as it could be.
Well, Derek, you're a young man. You guys have been married now for how long? You guys been married?
3 years.
Three and a half. Almost four.
Oh, yeah, we're going on 4 years.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, this is kind of one of those grow up fast experiences.
Yeah.
How has it impacted you, Derek?
Well, I think, like you said, I mean, it's there's not been a situation I've had where I've been forced to take. It was incredible during the experience. I felt like God was saying, this is my opportunity to present to you to step up as a man and as a father and as a husband to take charge. I'm not normally a natural leader. I don't normally step up in situations and say, I'm going to take over and do this and that. And so that was a situation where I could really hear the voice of God saying, you need to step up and do this. And so that's something that even after everything that's happened, I felt like I've kind of carried with me, that I need to kind of take on that position of leadership, and that it's important for me to continue to be the leader of our home and of our family, and to be the spiritual kind of guidance for my family.
And he's done a really great job. I was blown away during the whole experience, just how he stepped in. I was a mess. I was a mess as soon as we got the diagnosis. I couldn't handle it. And it was just amazing how he stepped up. He was there. He wanted to be there. He didn't want to leave my side. And I had to push him out a few times and say, go home, get some rest, take a shower, get some food. But God was good. Derek definitely stood up, and he did what he needed to do for our family. It was really amazing.
You know, I know in your blogs, you've been journaling your journey on this aria, and one of the things you wrote about was the silence. You know, what do you say to someone, and what's been your experience? What would you say to someone who's listening today? They have a loved one or someone at church, and you know they've gone through a similar situation. People don't know what to say. What was it that you wrote? What was it that you wrote, I think, was so helpful to people?
Well, I think for me, as someone who's been on the receiving end of the silence, I have to say that being afraid to potentially say the wrong thing and just choosing not to say anything is worse than possibly saying the wrong thing. Some things that I found were really helpful for people to say was just the most cliche and obvious thing, I'm so sorry. Just having someone acknowledge that I'm going through a difficult time, that really helped. I had a few people who would send me text messages even, you know, a few months after and just say, I'm thinking about you, praying for you. That was really great. I had a couple of friends who offered to just bring me lunch, you know, and those days and weeks following cooking and trying to feed myself and my family were the last things on my mind. So definitely having people come in to help out with meals and things around the house was great. Even when people would say things like, I don't know what to say, but I just want you to know that I love you and I'm here for you. That was great. One of the most powerful things someone ever said to me was, I wish I could have had a chance to know your little one, because that acknowledged that she had a life and it mattered, it happened, and that her life is always going to be important to me as her mom.
Yeah.
So.
Well, to all of us, very, very personal part of our lives and our journey we've been through, and to know that God was present in that room that day, in the life of that little girl, and at the funeral, to be able to say goodbye, but know that we'll see her again someday. Does it make heaven seem different to you guys in terms of its reality?
I think so.
Probably makes it more appealing.
I've never been forced to think about before the situation, you know, what happens with children that, you know, that pass too soon. And so, you know, it really kind of made me kind of have to dig in and think about what does that mean, losing a child on a spiritual level, and understanding that God is a good God and that he's righteous and that, you know, he cares after the children. You know, that's what Jesus said, do not prevent them from coming to me. And that the kingdom of heaven is made up of such as these, that the children are what God's heart is for. And so the reality of heaven is for us different. You know, before it was kind of like, you know, when we pass, we're going to wait for our children. But now we know that we have children waiting for us.
Well, we're going to take just a quick break. We're going to come back and offer some hope. I know, Aria, you're a student, and you love to read and learn, and you've got some resources that were helpful to you that we've made available on our blog, or your blog, that's available on our website to your blog, where people can get to that. And we'll talk a little bit about some resources that were helpful to you and some other practical things. This is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Month. And so we decided to crack open the door a little bit and allow you into our own family. And I appreciate Derek, our youngest son, Donna's and my youngest son, and his wife, Aria, coming in to share with us today. We'll be back with more. If you have something you want to join us online to share, a question or story, or call us 888-888-1717.
Black Friday, we get up way too early, fight through crowds for things that honestly just don't matter that much. Well, this year, I'm buying something that will help put my family on a strong spiritual foundation for the new year. I'm going online to buy the Word for Your Life gift pack.
From the Intentional Living Center, the Word for Your Life gift pack includes a 90-day devotional book and the chronological Bible. The gift pack makes a great gift for someone you love or yourself. Each day, important truth from God's Word and the devotional bring everything into focus for your life. And right now, save 34%. Go to theintentionallife.com and order the Word for Your Life gift pack. That's theintentionallife.com.
Aria and Derek, our kids, Derek, our son, and his wife, our daughter-in-law, Aria, have been through a loss, and that means all of us as a family. Back in February 12th, our granddaughter, Zuri Rose, came prematurely at 22 weeks and just not quite big enough to survive. God had a different, something else in mind. And over these weeks, Aria and Derek, I know, have grieved. We've all grieved and probably handled things correctly and incorrectly, but we're learning that this is something that all of us as families we face. And I appreciate you guys coming in today.
Well, we're glad we can be here to talk about it.
Which is hopeful, because I'm not sure you could have done this 2 weeks after, a month after. You know, this is something to give perspective. Somebody, what do you say to someone, Aria, maybe a woman listening today, and she's just went through this or some similar story, and she's looking in the rearview mirror, it's only a couple days, a couple weeks, and she's thinking, like, I'm absolutely stuck. What hope would you offer to her?
Well, first of all, I'd just tell her how sorry I am that she is going through this terrible, terrible experience. I would tell her, you know, on a hopeful note, it gets better in that the first step is you kind of get used to the grief and you don't feel like you're controlled by it anymore. Over time, I've learned how to deal with the emotions that come with the grief so that they don't just kind of hit me all at once and I just feel overcome by them. I've kind of learned how to take care of myself when I'm having a particularly difficult day. So it gets better in that over time, you learn how to incorporate the grief as a lifestyle. I know that sounds kind of morbid, but it's true for our family. It's kind of a lifestyle in that we've had to learn to allow the grief to be there. Sometimes certain situations are just, it reminds us of things, or just it comes out of nowhere and we just kind of feel those emotions come back. And so we've had to learn how to incorporate that into our lives. And for our son, we've had to kind of adjust so that our family is bigger than what it looks like, but you know, we only have one living child. And so for us, we've kind of had to adjust. And so that we do talk about with our son, even though he's young, you know, we let him play with some of the toys that we had for Zuri. And we tell him, you know, that's Zuri's little teddy bear. And we let him play with that. So that's the new paradigm for us. And so I would say to anybody going through this, that it does get better and you learn how to how to adjust to a new paradigm. And over time, God really does heal your heart and he helps you to grow spiritually. I had to learn that if I didn't let the difficult emotions with grief, if I didn't let them be present and feel them fully, then I was going to come out on the other side, but the things that were going to be left of me were the things that I knew needed to be changed to begin with anyways. So going through this experience has been hard spiritually because I've had to come to terms with some things about myself that I knew all along I needed to change, but I've been put in situations where it's become like super obvious, like you really have to change that now. And so God is just good at reminding me to be still and know who he is. And so I think that's the thing I would say to anybody going through this is just when you're having that really tough moment where you're just feeling pulled down, be still, literally, and know that he is God and he'll get you through those next 2 minutes and then two more minutes and so on. And before you know it, more time has passed.
And one of the things, too, that we went through counseling, we went to a counseling session, and one of the things that the counselor talked about was that this is the new normal for us.
Yeah.
That we're not going to go back to the way things were before the loss. You have to accept that there is a new normal, and that's part of kind of the process through grief and suffering and loss, is that just accepting that we're not going to go back to the point where there wasn't a point where we lost a child, and kind of make that part of, our lives going forward. But then one of the other things that we're able to get a lot of help from was that we've had some friends of ours who've gone through similar grief and loss themselves. And we've reconnected with them and talked to them, and they were willing to come out and ask us very specific questions about ourselves and about Zuri, and talk about Zuri. It wasn't something that they were avoiding or not discussing. And so for us to actually get out and talk specifically about Zuri and her life, and that really was kind of healing for us as well.
And it is healing. Being here today, I'm sure, is part of the healing process. You guys have been real brave in sharing. But you got some good news to share.
Yeah.
Can we just tell the whole world? Right here, today, now? Go ahead, Derek.
Okay. Here we go.
Here we go.
Do you want to do it together? No. Okay. we're pregnant again.
Yeah, exciting.
So we are expecting, hoping and praying for a child in March. And so that's a huge answer to prayer for us. It was a concern of ours that we wouldn't be able to get pregnant again, but that was...
everything's okay.
Yeah. So everything is good so far. The doctors are saying everything is clear. And so we're just trusting and knowing that we're going into this process with,
a new mindset.
Yeah.
And, as of this moment, when we're putting this program together, that's still true. And I hope you pray for this young couple. Been a really, a tough year for them, and I know many of you can relate personally, or parents or grandparents, as you've been through this in your own life. Thank you for your prayers for our family during this time. And speaking of thank you, I want to say thanks to those of you who are standing with us in support of the ministry. We're only a few days away now from Christmas and from the end of this year, and it's because of your support that we can do this every day. It's the only reason we can have our conference ministry, our Facebook, which is so active with people carrying on communication, and we're sharing and building relationship. And of course, our website, which is so robust with content and videos and teaching, all of that is available for you to help you, to encourage you. And I want to say thank you. Would you help us close out this year? Boy, listen, your support right now would make a huge difference. I want to say to members, an additional love gift here in December of $100 or $200 or $500 or $20, whatever it is, would make a big difference. It really would. And I want to say in advance, thank you for catching the vision to make a difference in this generation with this message. Now, if you've been listening and enjoying and learning, and so many of you are calling, telling us you are, I'm going to challenge you to be intentional to do something about it. Don't sit on the sideline, but do something. Just get involved. I want to say in advance, your gift does matter. Just give us a call during West Coast business hours at 888-1717 and press number 4 on the prompt code, or you can give online at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Well, you know, we want to stop and look at the most significant moment of the year, I suppose, as a reminder why we're here. It was Luis who called me with a question about marriage and finances, but as you'll hear, the conversation turned pretty quickly when I asked him if he'd ever given his life to Christ.
I believe God exists and everything, but I just cannot reach God. So I don't know.
Well,
I need something else.
Well, Louise, listen, I'm glad you're listening. You know, the scripture is very clear. God doesn't hide. You know, if you're sensing God's presence in your life and you're sensing his realness, have you ever given your life to him, Louise? You ever gotten to a place where you said, Lord, I know you're real. God, I know you're real, and I want you in my life. I want you to be the centerpiece of my life. Have you ever done that?
No.
Is that something you would find to be important in your life, something you would like to do
yes.
right now?
I do. I think it's very important to me to say that so I can feel better.
Would you like to do that right now?
Yes.
There's nothing magical about the words I'm going to share because it's got to come from your heart. It's not only to feel better, but to know that you're a changed, new person in Christ. If you're ready and you want to give your life to Christ, I can't think of a better time than right here with everybody who's going to be praying with you.
Yes, thank you.
All right, let's pray together. So go ahead and pray, Louise. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Today I give my life to you.
Today I give my life to you.
Forgive me for my sins.
Forgive my sins.
Come into my life.
Into my life.
Make me a new creation in you.
I'm a new creation in you.
Thank you for dying for me on the cross.
Thank you for dying for me on the cross.
And for coming into my life.
Thanks for coming into my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Mm.
Well, we're live back here in the studio. When that moment occurred, it's sort of representative of all the moments we've had to pray with people during this last year to accept Christ and to hear Luis give his life to Christ. That's why we do this. And we're praying that this guy's growing and growing his relationship with Christ and getting plugged into a church, and keep praying for him, okay? You know, we're counting down the top five programs of 2014, and number one and number two will be coming up here in the next couple of days. We're excited about that. And again, thank you for all of your support and your prayers. You know, today, hearing Aria and Derek again share their story. I love these guys, and we continue to pray for them, and they're such creative, godly young couple in their growth in Christ. We're excited for them and their future. And also, today happens to be the wedding anniversary of my daughter and our daughter, Andrea, and her husband, Chris, and Andrea's birthday. So congratulations to you guys as well. We'll see you next time from the Intentional Living Center.